This episode of Film Sack is brought to you by you.
Huh?
Well, that seems like a strange thing to say, doesn't it? But it's true. Well, it could be you. If you're a fan of Film Sack and other shows on the Frog Pants Network, and how could you not be? Film Sack's one of my favorite things we ever get to do ever. Do you want to support the show and show how much you love it? It's easy to do. You can become our boss by simply going to patreon.com/frogpants. That's patreon.com/frogpants. Give a little bit, give a lot, give whatever. And it will help us do what we do and do it better and keep this show going for a long time to come. That's Frog Pants support, and it's from you. And it's at patreon.com/frogpants. It's that simple. Go do it. Thank you guys so much. Now on with the show.
Thus saith the Lord, behold, water shall rise about the north and be an overflowing flood. And all the inhabitants of the land shall howl. Yes, sir. Jeremiah chapter 47, verse 2.
You're going to be able to afford a hell of a lot of Bibles, huh, Ray?
Look, we just want the money. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 216. My name is Scott Johnson. Joining me tonight, Brian. He had to poo, but forgot to turn the crank on the water dam Dunaway.
I don't really do crosswords, Mr. Jim. 26 across, okay, but like I said, I don't really... Okay, 26 across. A seven-letter word for avocado. You wrote down, I hate you so much, Kenny. I don't think you're supposed to go outside the boxes, Mr. Jim. Yes, sir, Mr. Jim. Maybe you can try the word jumble next time if boxes aren't really your thing. Oh, hey, can you explain flooding to me like I'm a five-year-old? What, not in this movie? Okay, because you are Morgan Freeman, you know. That's kind of your thing.
We missed you last week, man.
I missed you guys.
It's good to be back.
Did you listen to last week's episode, Brian? Yeah.
Hell no. Anything I'm not on? Get you guys.
Randy did a Dunaway style intro. It was great.
Oh, did he? Dang yeah. it. I need to
it
go
was
back
pretty
and listen
dang
to it.
Good. Go check it out.
Just hadn't had a chance to.
Also with us, Randy. Hey, guys. You know some of this is sewer water, right? Jordan.
Aloha, Brian. Scott, Brian. This week, for the first time in my life, I've finally been convinced by Morgan Freeman to fill out a bucket list. So wow. Here are some of the things that I'm now planning to do before I die. Meet Betty White, restore an old church, blow up a floating propane tank, go swimming in a jail, tell off Betty White, shoot the dickens out of some tombstones made out of chalk, give up on the old church restoration and destroy that place, arm my house with bear traps, make up with Betty White because she just needed my anger to knock some sense into her. And most of all, I'm going to ride a wave runner down the halls of my old high school. Screw you, Principal Peterson.
Yeah, right?
So much fun.
Keeping that rebellious attitude right into middle age. Also with us and finally, Brian Cactus Trap Ibbot.
Cactus Trap.
Yep.
For 20 years, I've been eating shit, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So now I'm changing the menu. From here on out, everything I eat is going to be shit-free. Now, who wants to go with me to McDonald's? Ah, damn it!
Nice. Sticking it to corporate culture and reminding us of what was in the movie. That was pretty good.
They were never going to be one of our sponsors anyway.
No, they never were. Never, ever will they be.
Morgan Freeman.
Hard Rain is the movie. It's Hard Rain. We just want the money! Rain. And as it turns out, my memory is correct of this movie. Morgan Freeman was really in it for the money. His character. Oh,
totally. He did just want the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame he never said that again.
No.
Like I was hoping.
Right.
I was hoping that
should have been every time the movie.
I was hoping the money would keep passing into hands other than his and he would have to yell that out over and over.
Well, just anytime he was doing something like you know, like, oh, let me get this boat here for you. I just want the money.
Yeah, every exactly. time he did anything. And even when he would have a conversation about just wanting back. The money, he would still bring up a few times in that conversation about how it was just in it for the money.
Right. And you got, if that had been the case, if freaking, if he had just given him the money to begin with, this movie would have been totally short because he didn't want to kill anybody.
Nope.
He was not really interested in killing anybody.
No, he's a nice guy.
Just give him the money.
He's like Red. He's a guy who knows where he can get things. That's all. Mm-hmm. He's fine. I liked it. I liked it a lot, actually. I like Hard Rain. It's a big, dumb, stupid movie, and I have a good time with it. And it came out a long time ago, 1998. Now, it seems like not that long ago, but it was. That's a long time ago. And it was directed by Michael Solomon, or Mikhail. I'm not sure how you say it because he's got a weird spelling. Written by Graham Yost. Now, that's important because Yost. Graham Yost, who I used to think was the last name of the girl on the Michael J. Fox show, Family Ties. It was Yeathers, wasn't it?
Yes,
but it was. I still think of that every time I see that guy's name.
There is a Yost, though.
Is there a Yost?
Isn't one
is
of the guys
Yost
on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, I think it's Yost.
Current, like, second-tier comedians. Isn't there a Yost on there?
Oh, is there? I don't watch that show. That show,
you
I
don't watch that.
Hey, man, I quit watching it after Randy Quaid left, okay?
Oh, my God. Can we just talk about Randy Quaid?
For yeah, we
hold
get
on,
to
hold
him.
On, hold on.
Movie.
We're on Graham Yost, and I want
okay,
I know where
sorry,
Scott's
Graham
going.
Yost. I got to finish the thought. Or that Daniel guy in Atlanta will ride my ass. All right, so Graham Yost is known primarily these days as the showrunner of Justified. That's his main thing.
Oh, right.
So I was super stoked when I saw this. I went, oh, we're going to get some of the writing prowess of Graham Yost.
I haven't heard that laugh from Randy.
I haven't either. I like that scared laugh. Me for a minute. But yeah, and you know what? Not so much. It's not. It's kind of super by the numbers and nothing too special. And the best people in it are hardly on or only get to talk about how they want the money. But it's still, I have a, it's a fun movie for me. There's, I do not find myself bored when I watch it. It's a good time. It's got 90s action written all over it. And Scott Fletcher is going to explain more because there's more to it than that. Scott Fletcher, take it away.
Hard Rain.
Whoa.
In the midst of a massive flood, a scrupulous armored truck driver does everything in his power to keep his precious cargo out of unauthorized hands. I'm just reading this now. I'm not really paying attention to what the words mean. Soon, he learns he can't count on the local authorities to shield him from an experienced thief.
All right. I like it when he does that.
This is our third movie written by my friend.
Oh, yes. What were the others?
He wrote Speed and Broken Arrow back to back.
Oh, weird. Mm-hmm. There's kind of a Broken Arrow vibe in here. Not because Christian Slater's in it, but because, I was going to say a quick thing. This is a personal note. Christian Slater, if you want to know, in this movie, he's a short-haired Christian Slater. He's not as big, weird hair he usually has. Mm-hmm. Is because his 90s hair that we're used to.
This is not as Heather's hair.
No, this is kind of a cut, tightly cut hair thing going on. If you want to know what my daughter's recently betrothed husband looks like, that's the spitting image of him in this movie.
Oh, really?
Nothing like his personality, but looks just like Christian Slater in Hard Rain specifically, which is really weird since this weekend they got married. But anyway, let's get beyond that. I don't want to think about those things anymore. Let's talk about Graham Yost. No, I guess I'm just a little disappointed that Graham Yost hadn't hit his writing stride because he has written some of the best hours of television I've seen in the last few years. And I feel like this is just, you know, paying the bills, doing your thing, whatever, establishing your career. And that's what you do back then. Who knows what gets cut? And, you know, original script writers aren't necessarily going to be happy with the end result because edits and things happen without their control. So who knows?
I would like to believe that it has to do with TV being more flexible than film movies.
Mm, now anyway, right? Because that may not have been true then, but now
like,
it's definitely
I would like to believe that when you're filming a movie and you're out and as a second crew and you've got a warehouse full of water and stuff, you're very inflexible on the script. Mm. Whereas when you're just sitting around and some old house out in Kentucky filming Justified, you can make
like
some changes on the fly.
Yeah,
right.
Well,
yeah, that, and I think that there's a formula that he had to follow for this and Broken Arrow and Speed, which was the 90s cookie cutter action film. I don't think that
he had to follow Die
Hard. Exactly. Yeah, I don't think that any of the three of those were, well, in Speed too, were any sort of groundbreaking action movie, you know, thinking outside the box. They were very formulaic. Oh, we've got the thing that the bad guys want. Oh, no, now they have the thing that they want. Oh, we get the thing back. Oh, no, one of us is captured by the bad guys.
Yeah.
Oh, right. No, one of the good guys turned out to be a bad guy.
And one of the bad guys turned out to be kind of an okay guy. Exactly.
Right, exactly. Now,
I just thought of something, though, talking about this whole movie versus TV thing in the 90s. What was on TV from 1993 until 1999? Can someone help me with that? What the hell was on TV?
What was on TV?
Okay, ER.
Lots and lots of ER.
All right, ER.
Friends, that kind of stuff.
Seinfeld.
I mean, it was the comedy.
Frasier.
The height of
Frasier.
Comedy.
Okay, so you're probably right. Simpsons, so there's a lot of comedies on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But what the hell mattered? Like, okay, so some good comedies, but... Like today, you would go, oh man, the 2000s and the 2010s, there are some stuff to talk about. There are some shows that will leave indelible marks on society and cultural references, blah, 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 whatever. But you cannot say that so much about the 90s. I know I'm forgetting something, but name something.
Can I name some more?
Please.
Okay. The X-Files.
West Wing started in 99, so I can't count that.
The X-Files. Law and Order.
Law and Order. 20 years of that.
I want to name ER again because that show,
just in case you missed it.
ER was a big deal.
Everybody was, it was like the Love Boat of his time.
But
every
I felt like ER was like this fat metal weight at the bottom of a stick, and the stick was made of comedies. And ER was right. Just like this fat little thing at the bottom that kept it all straight so it didn't all go bananas and lose its control and kept balance. But that's all ER's job was. It was like, all right, Thursday night, we're going to get wacky for 5 hours straight, and then we'll get serious and bring a lady in with a tumor. You know?
It was definitely a mixed bag of stuff during that time. But I think comedies was definitely defining the era. But you did get to see some stuff like... cable TV was really making a huge,
right,
painful
birth
into the scene.
And shows like Dawson's Creek and Beverly Hills 90210 and so forth, they kind of started on cable. Like,
right.
those were eventually free channels. But when they started, you kind of had to have cable to see some of this stuff.
This is the rise of Fox and the WB and you know, these other networks.
Sure. And we had Star Trek, and, you know, I know there were things to watch, but I just, where I'm getting at is it was also, I mean, that was an era where there was a lot of syndicated TV, which was a weird time and different thing.
Yep.
And I just feel like it's so unremarkable now.
So besides Deep Space Nine, you know what owned syndicated TV in the 90s?
Hold on. Hercules and then the Xena deal.
Those are something, but I just want to, like, germane to this movie discussion. Freaking Cops.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, Cops is still 80s all the way.
That wasn't syndicated. That was a Fox reality show. That wasn't syndicated, was it? I don't think so.
Well, I lived in an area that didn't have Fox.
Oh, all right. Well, then you were definitely getting it syndicated. I mean, that show still on, by the way. Getting the bad boys because they don't know what to do.
You'd think they would have caught everybody by now.
You'd think,
right?
You know what? I will say this here, and if they want us, there wants to be argument on the internet about this, bring it to the comments and the emails. That's fine. I still say Cops is probably the most reality TV of reality TV shows. Now, I know some of that stuff might be pumped up here or there. One of the, you know, fat guy chasing another guy across the street might be.
There's definitely something valid to that because it's, you know, it's very, when you compare it to the reality shows that are most prevalent today, Survivor, Big Brother, Chef Stuff. I don't know what that's really like.
I want Master one to be called Chef Stuff.
Chef Stuff.
Dude, yes. That's
awesome. Naked Dating. I mean, it relies so much on editing, and their goal is to basically take the contestants and turn them into characters.
Yeah.
You know, you want to make sure that you edit, oh, that person said a nice thing. Well, it doesn't matter because that person is going to be the enemy of this series. So we got to make sure to only showcase the things they say that are evil in relation to everybody else.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And Cops doesn't do that. It doesn't seem like it. I mean, you know, you've got you got the cops that are good and you got the bad guys who are bad. And
they just show what happens. Like, they may not show a boring night where the guy ran into no problems, but if there is problems or whatever they saw, that's just all you get. And to me, that's like real things happening as opposed to the rest of this stuff, which is called reality TV, but is bullshit from favorite top to bottom.
Anybody got a favorite Cops moment? Mine has to be when they were chasing this. It was super old, and it's got to be like late 80s. There was this really large guy, and he was running naked out of a building, and he was greased up for some reason, and they could not get him. They could not hold on to him. Because he was all greased up for some reason. It was weird.
I don't remember
that. He was like totally hairless from top to bottom. And he was all greased up. And they just couldn't get him. It was funny.
My memory is a guy, and I don't mean to go down this rabbit hole too far. Obviously, right. We already are.
Because we like Hard Rain.
Yeah, we did like Hard Rain, kind of. I don't know. Right, I did. Right. But I just remember a guy on top of the cop car dancing in a meth haze. With his pants around his ankles. That I remember very carefully.
I like when they busted on that guy and he was wearing a wife beater t-shirt.
No, wait a minute. I think you've seen this one.
Okay. There is a scene in Cops. You can find it on YouTube where a cop pulls up to a house on fire and starts kicking in windows and bashing him and saves this old lady who's in the house and gets her out and then realizes it's the house behind hers that's on fire.
Oh my gosh, is that real?
And they actually put that on the air.
Oh, that's right, awesome. Right.
That's a real thing. That happened? Mm-hmm. All right. I love it. Well, yeah. Cops Marathon, here I come.
Right. Recently had somebody die on the cameraman.
Yeah, cameraman got killed. Yeah. 23 years later or whatever. So yeah, that show's been on forever. Well, the point is Hard Rain. Hard Rain is a movie. And it's got your Morgan Freeman, your Christian Slater, your Randy Quaid, and a bunch of other people, a mini driver, and what?
When Quaid came on, I have this problem every time I watch a movie, and for just a minute, I'll get a little bit of Quaid amnesia, and I'll go, wait, Randy Quaid? Which one is it? Is it Crazy Quaid? Or is this Handsome Quaid?
Nope.
I'm like, just for a minute, because I need to know. I need to get mentally prepared before I start a movie because I have to know which one it is.
Yeah, well, it's definitely not Dennis.
So they don't look anything alike. I mean, you know, if you put them side by side, you can see it's not like confusing Owen Wilson and Luke Wilson.
Right.
Who, still are pretty, easy to discern which is which with the blonde hair. And
you can't tell which one's my brother, man. you're right. In fact, of all the brothers, I feel like of all the brother actor things that are out there, I feel like these two are the easiest to tell apart.
Are they blood related?
But you know what? Okay, the one they compare it to, the Baldwin brothers. For a second, you're like...
You could recognize a Baldwin.
Well, you can recognize a Baldwin, but you can't recognize which Baldwin in some
cases. This is true. Is a Baldwin... Just not sure which one.
Yeah.
Right. I think Alec ate one of the other bald ones, so he's easier to tell these days.
Could I read you guys something? I just want to read you the first 40 words of Randy Quaid's biography on IMDb.
I'm ready.
Because it is just, I can't believe this is in print on IMDb.
Right.
Here it is. Hollywood's most extreme character star, Randy Quaid, has never been timelier. Randy, a man who took a bus to Hollywood with nothing but raw talent, is now a proven and current, vast and varied star with that one other sustaining asset. He is a great and much admired actor on the world stage. Oh my God.
Is this really? Yeah. Who wrote
that?
That's
what it says. We debated about this before. Who writes these things? It has to be
depending on the level of stardom, it's either you or your publicist or your mom.
In his case, his wife or something.
Right.
And plus, what does it say at the bottom? By RQ or something like that? I think he wrote it himself.
I think that, at a certain point, your mom writes it. And then as you cross to a certain age level, your publicist.
Sue Gutman wrote this for us. And so let's see what else she did. Sue Gutman. So that's her name.
Oh, she wrote the... Gutman.
But the point is, this is the same biography, if you read down the way, says he was banned for life from the Actors Equity Association as a result of fellow actors' official complaints about his behavior. Look, how does this go together?
Yeah, it's the internet, dude. It's a magical place.
Poor old Ray. He is such an interesting... We could have a whole show talking about Randy Quaid, but essentially it breaks down to his recent... breakdown of saying that somebody's trying to whack him, basically.
Yeah, he thinks somebody, he says as much in that video you sent me earlier.
Well, Star Whackers.
Right. Star Whackers.
Star Whackers, right.
I can't wait to watch the new reality show. Star Whackers.
Star Whackers. and Randy Quaid host. Have him host and look all paranoid the whole time. It'll be fantastic. I mean, look, the guy may actually believe all these things. And if that's true, I feel even worse for him. Because if you if you really believe all that and you think Michael Jackson and those four other people that died within the same year, Heath Ledger and whoever else, you think that's all part of a conspiracy to slowly get to you and murder you. If you really believe that, that you are not having a good day ever.
If he just named, if he named a few and just was picky and said, okay, well, Michael Jackson was killed by these, so, then I would go, okay. But every single celebrity death.
Yeah. It's all leading to Randy Quaid.
It all it's all attributed to these people who are killing celebrities. And I'm like, dude, just by sheer numbers, I mean, you're going to have some that are going to kill themselves. You're going to have some that are going to, you know, die from drug overdoses. It's happened always.
Yeah, it's happened always. So, he's just got this perspective that won't change. And I just feel really bad for the guy. But in this movie, I was actually kind of excited because I thought, oh, look, it's Sheriff Quaid. He's going to. Right. He's going to be Sheriff awesome, Quaid. And he's going to be sweet the whole time and be a good man. And not at all. He is a total butthole of the most two-dimensional sort. Mm-hmm. And he turns
he
on everybody.
He just wants the money.
He really just wants the money. he's a troll.
All the money.
Yeah. No, he totally does. Here's some interesting trivia. I talked about the creator and runner of Justified, but here's some other stuff. It was originally titled The Flood. And it was changed because filmmakers didn't want audiences to assume it was just another disaster movie, which, as you recall, the mid to late 90s was all about disaster movies.
Mm-hmm. Right. Volcano. And,
Twister. ID4.
Titty Twister.
Titty Twister. Something my brother gave me every weekend.
Daylight. Yeah, I love that movie.
What was... Volcano was the Dante's Peak.
Yeah.
Armageddon of the Deep Impact.
Deep Impact.
Yeah. There we go. For a few brief moments... This movie held the distinction of the film with the biggest aquatic film set of all time until Titanic, which began filming several weeks later. It's like Cameron's like, F you guys. I'm barking to
do that.
Yeah.
You gotta give this movie that credit. Like, wow, it really uses a lot of water.
I agree. It's impressive.
I don't even understand. Like, it's got my least and most favorite water trope.
What's ever. That one? Ooh, give me. What is that? Give it.
When you're wading around, when you're boating around town that's flooded, the water is freaking muddy. Dive down, clear as crystal.
Oh, clear as bells.
That water.
Yeah. Also, I mentioned it. I kind of alluded to it at the top of the show, but that water is littered with dead animals and corpses and dead people and sewage that's backed up and a billion other things going on in there. And I'm like,
just dive down.
They're all acting like they're at the freaking Happy Time Fun Park.
Yep. Right.
It is an E. coli soup.
I kept thinking,
especially Kenny, man, he's having the time of his life.
I kept saying, Slater, don't make out with Minnie Driver. She's got a mouthful of poo from that house she was trapped in.
But he's required to because, trope alert, she's the only possible love interest in the movie.
She's the only lady.
Yeah, here's the theme for that. That's our theme for that. Mm-hmm. Early stages of production, the film was supposed to be directed by John Woo.
It was supposed
to be him. They changed hands a few times, ended up not being him. But it felt like a kind of a Woo movie, and they even had some doves in the middle of it, and it had the slow motion thing at the end. And I kind of thought, they didn't get Woo, but they stole some of his signature moves anyway.
Right. That's fine. Something Woo like here, you know, just pull a Woo.
Now it says this: at the time this was filmed, the movie had the largest painted scenic backdrop ever used in a film, and I, to the life of me, cannot tell you what the scenic backdrop was.
Mm-hmm.
What was it?
So much of it is in the dark.
Yeah, was it the city when it was all, when they were? But
yeah, they had a couple of pullbacks. They did a couple of things that were early CG stuff that looked real obvious, like the cars and things. They would instead of using miniatures, they were using some CG generated stuff.
The cars are driving through computer generated water. It looks so bad.
It looked pretty bad.
Yeah.
But I think that was some of those pullback shots must have been some of the
even when they showed like the water coming out of the dam, I was having flashbacks of Superman 1, you know, just bad miniatures. That water was not scaling right for me.
Yeah. Like it wasn't just, right speed.
No.
Right.
Well, and also, aren't dams built to hold the water that they hold? Like, if the water gets high enough that it flows over the dam, it flows over the dam.
Yeah,
right?
It doesn't
like,
bust the dam. Yeah.
Why would the dam break? I don't get that.
If it's a bad dam, it has to be a bad dam.
Yeah, bad dam.
Well, I thought that's what the knobs, the dials, the big cranks that you're supposed to turn were supposed to alleviate. Like,
yeah, but what they didn't explain was what it really was. was it Hank? I think it was. Yeah, Hank had stopped the toilet up at the dam. And if you don't, guys don't know anything about dams, if you don't quickly unplunge that, then it's gonna just cause a chain.
They weren't trying to imply that.
No, I'm pulling your leg.
It's like, did Jimmy just take the biggest poo of his life and this is causing all the problems? But that was kind of a dumb trope. He has to pop off the toilet and get over there real quick. Why is it always these things happen when they're taking a crap? What is the deal with that in movies? Happens every time. And the idea that the actual control room would have flooding in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
How does that work?
I guess that's going to
be
really
sticking
bad.
Off a thing that off the happens. Top of the off the top of the dam. It's going to be
that
within
happen,
the dam
though.
Itself.
Well, so sure, but then if he goes and lets it go, and he does the thing, you know, opens up the little thing a little bigger or whatever, that's going to alleviate his office flooding. That just seems.
I'm super afraid of the super intelligent listeners that are going to really have a lot of dam knowledge are going to send in some scathing emails about our lack of knowledge on dams.
Bring it on. I can't believe that anybody would build a dam that would bust under some rain. That's just weird.
Yeah. I do like the apocalyptic nature of the theme. Jordan. I like it. Randy Jordan at gmail.com. I like the apocalyptic style. You know, I like the idea that brain is so bad that we're all going to die. That's awesome. That's a cool theme. May as well, you know, works with volcanoes. It works with earthquakes. May as well work with water. Create a big flood. You have a lot of opportunities there. My problem with it is they didn't do too many thematically that would have been interesting, like not just, ooh, there's a truck full of money and people want to get it, or old lady's too stubborn to leave her house when everyone else should leave and her husband doesn't have the guts to tell her no, and then he finally does at the end and tells her to F off or whatever he did in the boat. Like, these are all too easy. I wanted things like, where's my Stephen King always has one crazy religious person who's just raving about how this is end times and...
He did. He quoted the Bible several times. I'm going to ask you about that. Do we get the Bible quoting verses much in movies now? We did during the 90s.
Some, sure. But that guy wasn't there to portend, you know, like, hey, the mankind is coming to an end. He was just like weird.
He's not Jules from Pulp Fiction.
No.
He's, you know, using it for some point. Or,
you know, a good example is, I can't think of her name. What's her name? Gay Harden. I can't think of her first name.
Marsha
Gay Harden. Mm-hmm. Don't say gay hard on. Anyway, if she...
Oh, from like the fog, not the fog.
The mist, right. The mist. Yeah. She was, that's the Stephen King thing, right? To pull out this person who is seeing it all as like the end times. And then there's a group of people and it's just real sinister. And I could have gone for themes that were a little bit more real like that. Because the whole time, all I could think of is, all right, you guys all want this truck. Now Randy Quaid wants the truck. And Billy Bob Hunter Man that's with him. They all want the truck now. They just want the money, right? Mm-hmm. The problem is, where are y'all going to spend your money in a world that is buried in water? Now, they didn't talk about the rest of the world or any of that. It just seems like there was permanent rain in wherever they lived. But I got to assume that spreads far and wide. What good's your money now?
No. It's just localized rain and flooding and dam issues. This isn't like a worldwide disaster.
See, to me, I read it as
your
as
money
worldwide.
Will spend just fine outside of Helltown, whatever it was.
All right, fair enough. But my feeling of it was that it was supposed to imply that it was a wider thing. They kept showing news reports of people in different places, and
I felt like it was very like this town flooded a lot because Betty White and those, you know, they were the trope, the old couple trope who
setting traps every time.
I'm not leaving. I'm staying. Yeah. I'm staying through the whole flood. We're gonna sleep in the roof or what? And you know, just
she hasn't changed at all. By the way, she looks the same to me.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. She hasn't aged at all in the last 20 years.
Yeah. Good for her. Yeah. She's 90 something now, right? 91. She still looks like she did in this movie, which is crazy. Yeah. So
she was terribly annoying in this movie.
Oh, yeah. I didn't like her.
So she did really well.
Ed Asner was in this thing for like 5 minutes.
Yes.
He was the partner driver dude in this armored car carrying all this cash, rolling with Christian Slater. He got shot real early, right in the neck. And that was the end of that. He was out.
Damn it, Kenny.
Which is too bad.
Put the gun down.
I'm a big Ed Asner fan, so I was sad.
It was really stark when in the beginning of this film, in the very first act, you have Christian Slater and Ed Asner acting in the front of a truck.
Yeah.
And you realize, oh, wow, Christian Slater's a bad actor. Wow. He's just...
Put him up next to Asner.
He's just not even... Yeah, he's mixed up in something way out of his league here.
Yeah.
But then they kill off Ed Asner.
Sure.
I always enjoyed Christian Slater's acting. I've always thought it was
He's all right. But it brings me to a trope, and it's this. And it's one I like, actually, so I'm not complaining. Smart, almost noble gang leader surrounded by hotheads.
Right.
Who's kind of got a heart of gold, but he is in it for the money. Keep saying that, but he's you know, he's not all that. He's not all bad, and he'll do the right thing in a pinch. And this extends to like comparable movies. I would say The Rock with Ed Harris.
Ed Harris
Is very much that guy. It's a noble reason he's doing this. He's you know, this lifetime decorated officer, but he's making these. Ooh, we got to watch The Rock. Anyway, all that stuff. And it's the same idea. And a lot of movies do this. Actually, really like it. Like, I'm a sucker for, it's a little simplistic, I will admit, but I like it when there's like, oh, there's a little good in him after all, and he's going to help us out. And he's not.
Yeah, somebody can pull for the anti-hero. Yeah,
sure. Mm-hmm. And unlike, you know, Quaid, who's a complete and utter dick in every way in this.
Right.
And deserved to die.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think of other good examples, because it's usually that redemption happens at the very end. Like, as they're dying, they do the thing that helps save the hero from the even worse guy or the disaster, or,
right,
you know, oh, you were a worthy adversary. I know I'm gone, so here, I'll use my dying breath to save you, or something.
Or
like
if
that.
They survive, they're like Boyd Crowder and freaking
Raylan Givens,
yeah. Givens in a way, because they become like what's that like, where you need each other for the world to have balance,
mm-hmm. right?
On one side, okay, and that's kind of where this ended.
But did you really need the extra bit about Randy Quaid's character where he's been unelected and he's an outgoing sheriff? That just felt so flimsy to me, unnecessary. Why are we talking about that?
Yeah. Also,
everybody seemed like they were just like seconds away from being evil.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, okay, I can't handle it. I'm evil.
Yeah. I expected Minnie Driver to high five him in the boat and then turn the guns on those guys.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing with a character like that, you have an opportunity to be nuanced, and they didn't do that at all here. They just let him be as two dimensional as humanly possible and let him just go the way he's going to go, which is really unfortunate. But also I just want a character that doesn't, like, again, this brings me back to, I thought the movie was more widespread with The Rain than it was, because why would Randy Quaid throw away a 20-year law enforcement thing, have a bunch of murder raps now under his belt because he just killed off half the people, including his own partner and everybody else in there, and then he's just going to ride off and spend that money where and with who? Like, you're going to get tracked down. Right. If The Rain's just here in Butthole County, you're screwed. Like, yeah. none of that jived with
here me. In Butthole County, we always have flooding issues.
You know what I mean, though? Like,
I felt the same way. It seemed the motivation. It seemed like everybody was
up to
evil.
Canada. I think right. It's obvious.
Oh, see,
yeah.
I'm Canadian now.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going? Hey, sorry, I took your money. Yeah. What else? I got one more. Hey. I got another trope. Listen to this. How quickly Randy went south is just a thing. We'll just call it that. Randy went real south real quick, and I hate when movies do that.
Right, yeah. Because his heel turn happens so fast that you feel like you're like he's pretending. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't immediately go, oh, he was in on it all along. Mm-hmm. Instead, you're just like, okay, what's he telling this lie for?
Yeah.
Like,
and it was immediate. It's like, I'm helping old people. I'm securing this town. I'm making sure we're evacuating, and I'm terrible. You know?
Well, we needed him to be like, what we really needed was a scene where he's getting the money and looking at the money and has a change of heart, because we never have that. We just have all of a sudden, you know, for 1 minute he acts like he's concerned that Christian Slater is back at the jail. By the way, trope, they always lock up the hero.
Always.
And so then he can't do anything. But
and
anyway,
something bad happens really where concerned. He has to get out. It's either zombies out there or something surrounds it, and the only way out is up.
Trope exactly. Alongside that, by the way, if there's rising
right
water.
Along trope.
What?
A ride along trope.
Well, I'm just saying, if there's rising water, somebody's got to be trapped. They're going to drown. And by the way, if that works once, we got to do it again.
Yeah.
You know, handcuffed to a pipe in the Titanic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what? You know what didn't happen in a movie full of flooding? No drownings. Not a single one.
Right. Nobody drowned.
You're right.
Everybody died by bullet hole.
That's weird. Also, bullets that are incredibly resistant to water. Like. Like, I can tell you right now, those guns and rifles they were using, I'm not a giant gun nerd, but I know enough to know they would all have been toast in the water. There's no way they would have held up, some of those guns.
I disagree.
You don't think so?
I never actually felt that, and I was kind of looking for it. Like, are we seeing,
I felt like it was all pretty well portrayed as far as the there was one gun that I felt like was being portrayed as an automatic when it wasn't. But right. Other than that, like,
I just got the feeling there was too much. There were too many submergings and too many well underwater things. And isn't that stuff get all jacked up when you bring it out?
No, because I mean, you design guns to be as mechanical as possible, right? You just got to hit the back of a bullet to make it explode. So
these aren't flintlocks; they're all self contained with inside, and that explosion happens inside the bullet.
I was all right. I'll allow.
All right. It just seemed like a lot of.
I'll allow it.
They had a lot of ammo. They had a lot of guns. It just seemed like that stuff would have been harder to maintain and manage in that scenario because they were so wet. Yeah.
You know what was effective though? The director. He was behind the camera before, and he would lay out shots and that kind of stuff. One of the things that was really effective about this movie, I thought, was the gun firing, because I really felt like there was a lot of impact when the guns would be fired. There was like camera shaking and they felt very powerful visually. Mm-hmm. Did you feel that?
I saw the camera even shake a few times.
Right.
Yeah, like a shot would fire when they were sneaking around in the boats toward the cemetery. Oh, by the way, mm-hmm. cemetery water, dude. Holy shit.
I really could use some more dead bodies floating.
They even go out of their way to go, what are these caskets floating around for? Oh, those are fresh. What? I'm sorry, right? What?
Yeah.
How is that different?
They dirt's didn't not pack taxed. Down the earth right, real right. good.
But don't we pour a slab of concrete on top of a casket?
Don't get all technical with us. This is a movie.
Not in Butthole County. Town.
Right, Butthole.
Not County. Butthole County, yeah. Yeah. Butthole County, USA, not a chance.
Such Hicksville. That was such Hicksville.
Yeah. Some of that stuff is real dumb.
Hey, you know what's another trope?
What?
The bullfighting. Musgrove. The bullfighting technique that works for all situations, such as dodging jet skis.
Yeah.
So if the hero is able to wait long enough and then avoid at the last second, he will stab the bull right in the back.
Yeah, that works every time. He does. He's good at that. I like this. The jet ski bits were awesome.
They were hilarious.
Looked really good. The practical effects, like Randy said earlier, the water work in this is awesome. It's really, really well done.
Better than Waterworld?
No, there's nothing better than Waterworld.
Okay,
let's not even get into that.
That was on this past week, by the way.
Oh, I'm gearing up for my second viewing of the year. We're gonna watch it in October. Yeah, I love that movie, dude. You know,
I know you love it, but come on.
You ever seen Paper? All right, that's all I gotta say. I don't know why I wrote how quickly Randy went south. I meant Quaid, but it keeps making me think I was talking about you. And I'm like, Randy hasn't gone south. He's fine. Sorry. What?
Did anyone think that the statue that's holding the sword would be used a little bit more prominently than just slowing down Christian Slater's boat? I was seriously thinking that Randy Quaid was going to get stabbed by it by the end of the movie.
Yeah, it was a cool shot for no real reason other than
chick in the bucket. Cool chick in the bucket was the statue.
We'll give you a look.
Because what else was there?
The parrot.
Oh, wait.
There was a parrot at the beginning of the movie that I wanted to see more of.
There was a parrot.
I don't remember a parrot. Where the hell is the parrot at?
They're evacuating, and somebody is telling off Randy Quaid to his face, and he's got a bird in the car. And I'm just like,
oh, okay. That was when Betty White first came on the scene, wasn't it?
Parrot in the bucket.
All right. Fair enough. That guy's penthouse comments were creepy. That weirded me out.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't like that. And because I really like Minnie Driver. I don't like her in peril.
There's really no reason for them to take away her accent. You know, she could have been a church restoring
British lady.
Mm-hmm. There's absolutely no reason.
Like in Gross Point Blank, you can buy it, right? Because she's from the area and you got to have her there. And for the record, I think she does fine. But because I know her so much from her accented roles, every time I hear her not do it, I'm so very carefully listening for her to screw up. And she did once, and I recorded it. But we'll get to that later.
Wasn't it so obvious because of how they equalized her voice? Also, she didn't sound the same as anyone else in the film.
Mm. Like, did you think she was being dubbed for a minute there? Because
everybody was right. Like when
a
you
lot of
right,
dubbing,
you,
yeah.
When you know, like everybody does. AVR after you've been filming in a warehouse, right?
Especially when you just want the money, you got to yell that. You got to get redone.
You know, I could
I really could have done without Minnie Driver completely in this movie. Oh. I mean, her. I mean, she was sure she was kind of the love interest of sorts. But I mean, we could have really went with Betty White. I mean, she could have been fine for the love interest.
No, she wouldn't have been.
I think that would have been a terrible idea. Maybe some Lou Asner. Maybe kept Lou on a little bit longer.
Lou Asner.
Right.
Ed Asner.
Lou. But yeah, sorry. I didn't really feel.
I like her a lot. I always like her. And
I didn't like her because she freaking kicked the cop out of the only good cop, by the way. She kicked him out of the boat and left him to die.
Well, that was before, she knew it was
before. It was so wrong, though. Why would she do that?
Yeah. He'd been making moves, and he was sick of it, and he was such a yokel with the big ears and the dumb face.
He deserved to die, right?
Well, didn't he? He did eventually die, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, because everybody trying did. To save her. Yeah. That's right. Trying to save Christian Slater.
Yeah, he tried to do a fun. Oh, that's right, because he shot in the boat. Because he hesitated or whatever. The best death. There's two great deaths. Let's rank the deaths. Okay. My favorite death I thought was Randy Quaid's because he got killed by an outboard motor, but then he came back. So because he came back and did Amish guy and Die Hard moment, that didn't count.
Right. I got it.
All right, go. Who?
Freaking Ned the Head, Ned Ryerson.
Oh, Ned Ryerson. That's not Ned though.
The headshot is what he was.
That's not Blaski.
Oh, you're talking about the eyeball shot?
I realized that. But he was so Ned from Groundhog Day, and he became Ned the Headshot. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
Oh, it was awesome.
What was his name?
The scientist.
He was a school teacher.
A school teacher, yeah.
Yeah, he was such a trope in himself.
He was very Ned Ryerson. I totally agree with you. Like, my kids are teaching me how to build these bombs in school. Ding!
Yeah. I sure as heck remember that.
Yeah. I wish I might chewed him in the eye.
Yeah, he got that was pretty good. But I like the Minnie Driver knife to the neck on the other guy. That was all right. Mm-hmm.
Hey, can I ask I'm sorry. I want to follow up this question with another question when we get through.
Go ahead.
Well, I want to say Kenny was a cool death, too.
I can't remember how Kenny died.
You guys killed Kenny. Oh, he got totally blown up whenever the Transformer blew.
But they kept him in the boat the whole time. Why'd they do that?
Right, right. Because he was hurting, and he was like, it hurts. It doesn't hurt anymore.
Yeah.
Kenny Morgan was consoling him. Yeah.
Kenny's in a lot of stuff. I was looking it up. He's an SLC punk. He's one of the punks. With the mohawk. In fact, he's on the cover there. He's the punk to the right of Shaggy there in SLC Punk. And I remember him most specifically from Alias episodes, that guy.
Michael Gurgian.
He's always a little weaselly and kind of a butthole to be around. But good on him.
What was your favorite death, Ibbit? You didn't get a chance
the,
to say.
No, the Mini Driver stab in the neck.
Stab.
Yeah,
next stabby,
the banister stab.
That was pretty good because that guy. What I liked about it was it wasn't just and then he's dead.
Right. He flopped around for a while.
And he shot and like missed her barely, and that was great.
That's the question for me. Okay, this is a movie. This is a movie privilege. But would we do this in real life? If someone initiated the death process in you, such as stabbing you in the neck, and you're gonna die.
Let me initiate the
death process.
Right? You've initiated the death procedure. It is about to start now. Do you think for a minute?
Them out with you, kind of thing.
Right? Do you take them out with you, or do you kind of go, "Ah, oh, shit, I'm dying"? I mean,
would you feel sorry
for yourself? I mean,
I think
you
that
like
guy would.
Pity party,
no, no,
maybe?
No. I think I would be full of adrenaline and rage, and I would fire that gun too.
No, but we're talking about mustache rapist here. He is mustache rapist. Anyway, mustache rapist wanted
another SoundCloud mashup.
Yeah, he thought they were going to get it on. So no, he would not have grabbed the gun and fired it at all. He would have kept trying to convince her that she wanted him.
It's like we can still do it. Still okay.
He was that. Yeah. He was that.
I've initiated the death process, but I'm still kind of in the mood.
There's a missing scene. It was removed from the movie, but here is the line she was about to say right before she stabbed him.
Then I will have to take the gun.
All right, she had to take the gun. All right. What else? I think to answer your question, Brian, I think it just depends. Like, I feel like there are lots of great examples in movies where a bad guy will get stabbed in the neck or something, and then he will stumble back, and then you'll have some monologuing about how it's all come to this, and I don't know how I got this far, and this has all gone wrong, and then he'll die. Right. So I think there's examples of both.
At the end of Blade Runner, basically saying, all right, well, I'm just about dead here. You can climb back up on the rooftop, Deckard, and I'll leave you alone. Yeah, oh, right? A dove. Yeah. How nice.
A good, I guess it comes down to whether you're a good loser in life or whether or not you'll be a good loser in death, right?
I guess.
Right.
Yeah. That guy seemed to die the way I expected him to die, is I guess what I'm saying.
Look at Hans at the end of Die Hard, right? As he's fallen backwards out of the window, he's still trying to shoot Bruce Willis.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you.
If only I'd fall in the right direction. Ah, oh, damn it.
Yeah, that's true. There are a lot of Die Hard. This is a Die Hard ripoff. Let's just call it what it is.
Oh,
yeah.
Definitely.
Or a Speed 2 ripoff, one of the two.
Yeah, there's a bit
Isn't
of that.
Speed 2 on the cruise ship?
It is. Did you right. mean Speed also? Or did
Speed
you...
as well. As well.
As well. Oh, okay.
Speed as well.
That's right. what I thought you meant. Speed as well.
Speed in addition.
In addition to Speed, this one as well.
Oh, that's great. All right, what else?
I'm surprised Scott didn't. Hey,
what does the water mean? Let's ask the question for the fans. What did the water mean, Brian?
Water is a metaphor.
Yeah,
for
what does it symbolize, man?
It symbolizes we're all screwed. Anyway, yeah, but the music. I want to talk about
I like the music.
Real quick. Mm-hmm. I thought you would like the music. It's kind of Western, wasn't it?
A little bit. But I also just Western like the hype. 90s cliffhanger music. I think that stuff's fun.
Who's the music guy here? I got to take a look because it felt like something, again, it felt like something that we'd heard before, and I'm curious about if this guy, Christopher Young.
Yeah.
And he's also responsible for.
He's responsible
for
lots of.
Oh, lots of stuff, lots of newer stuff. Holy cow, this guy's prolific.
He's busy.
Spider-Man 3.
Oh.
Exorcism of Emily Rose, Drag Me to Hell, Sinister. Let's see what he was doing right around that time. This guy has a humongously long list of, glad I finished that sentence, long list of movie credits he's done in like the, ever since 1982, basically.
He was competent. I felt swept along with his music.
I felt like the music didn't quite fit. There were times when it was so epic, and I'm like, this is a movie called Hard Rain. I don't need... to feel like we're going to visit the tombs of the kings in Africa, you know?
The African king tombs, those ones.
Right.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. It was maybe a little extravagant on some ends, but I'd like the like punctuated stuff like, oh, there's Randy Quaid's hand suddenly, and then, you know, the music goes crazy.
What do you call that big orchestra drum, the one they hit?
Timpani.
Ah, yes. They had that in here a couple of times.
Oh, the timpani.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the list here that is, that we've said or that is well known for having great music. Like it's, you know, Entrapment, The Big Kahuna, Wonder Boys, Swordfish, The Core.
So he is sufficient to the tasks.
He's adequate.
Yeah. They call him up when they need. They're like,
we need some adequate music.
We got a movie. What's it about? It's a plane that gets taken over by terrorists. Hey, I know just the guy. I mean, that's what he seems like here.
That's right.
And you know what?
A lot of
that's
Hellraiser
awesome.
Stuff, though.
Oh, mm-hmm. Really? Hellraiser? Yeah. Oh, Hellraiser. Weird.
Yeah.
Is that where you got to start? Like, what's his first thing?
Well, first thing, it's weird. The first thing is something from 1968 called Robbie, but that's from 1968, so I can't imagine
that's
real.
He's been doing this for a while then.
Well, I don't
Come
think that
on.
That's... I don't think that's possible. I think that's an IMDb typo. The Dorm That Dripped Blood in 1982 is his first potential real credit.
Dorm That Dripped Blood.
Why aren't we watching The Dorm That Dripped Blood?
That is like deathbed.
His deathbed literally is dripping blood on the floor. That sounds amazing. Oh my gosh.
The first thing that he did that we've probably heard of is A Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge.
Oh, the one with the big long tongue, that guy making out with the girl. That's the only scene I remember.
Was that the weight part where he does the weights and his arms break off?
Yes.
Is that two?
His arms get real long. Or no.
No, that was Freddy. But no, I mean, the weightlifter guy. Arms break off.
What's the one where they drop the weights on his neck?
Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
You know what I'm thinking of? Yeah. Maybe every horror movie has done that, actually.
Right.
Now that I think about it. Like, hey, where's my spotter? And then... there's no spotter here. And then it falls on his neck and kills him. All right. We already talked about that. Rainiest movie in history? Gotta be. Whatever.
Wow.
Does the movie, okay, I just want to entertain this one last time before we do clips. Yeah. Is the rain supposed to represent something, Brian Dunaway?
Oh, honestly? I mean, no. I mean, we were picking about it earlier, but no. The rain is just there because
it's presenting Christian Slater's feeling of being held back.
Right.
Hold on.
Like, in all the Die Hard clones, right? Yeah. You have to have something other than a building. right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like it's just whatever. You just look around right. you at the natural world and go, hey, we should do Die Hard on a mountaintop or Die Hard in a treehouse or whatever. Like just
I'd watch that.
Yeah, I would too. But so that's all this was, right? It's just like, oh, Die Hard.
Okay, so water is the Nakatomi Plaza of this movie.
Right. Exactly. Okay. Die Hard on a mountain is cliffhanger. Die Hard in an airport is Die Hard 2.
Yeah.
Die Hard in a
Die Hard in a White House is Olympus Has Fallen or that other one.
Right. I want to see Die Hard at a Taco Bell.
Dude, I would watch a Die Hard at Taco Bell.
That was called Clerks 2.
And there'll be an employee there that everyone hates already who's like, I'm not eating tacos the rest of my life, man. This is sucks. I'm leaving. And he'll get shot the minute he stands up.
And then he's got to walk through like a bunch of taco shells barefoot.
Yep. And that guy that gets shot, he'll be like the dude that has the Coke and keeps calling him Bubby or whatever from Die Hard. I love these tropes. There needs to be a Die Hard in every situation. That's what we need. Maybe there already is, and I just wasn't paying attention. All right, we got clips, and they're numerous, so here goes. Let's start with this one. Some lame dialogue, and this is kind of indicative of the dialogue. It's a little bit lame.
My worst was Sweet 16. I had mono. What about you, Wayne? What was your worst birthday?
Are you kidding? You think I could have possibly had a birthday worse than this? What kind of loser you think I am?
Don't answer that, Phil.
Don't answer that. They're just trying to kill you. Come to Canada with me. They're just going to try to kill you.
Illuminati.
Here's Ed Asner farting. Okay. I don't know if you guys remember this, but Ed Asner farted early in the thing inside the truck. Here's that.
Yeah, so yeah.
Excuse me.
There you go.
Dude, was the fart sound in there? I don't think the fart sound was in there. You added that part.
Put it in post. That was good, though.
Excuse me.
Really, I couldn't help it. Took time to even do and everything. All right, Golden Girl talking smack.
You don't need to set traps.
That's what they said in 73. Time we got back, what a bastard didn't steal, they broke. Just for the hell of it.
That's not happening this time.
Damn right it's not.
Golden Girl pissed.
This makes me want us to put Lake Placid on our...
I would love to watch Lake Placid.
Is she in that? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What is Lake Placid? Explain.
It's a shark. Isn't there like
alligator.
A big shark?
No, it's a big
alligator. That's
it's
right.
A big alligator. Yeah, yeah.
Living in this lake, and she's a resident who lives on the lake, and I think coaxes him out with.
Is Randy in there too? Randy Quaid in there? Is that? I can't remember now.
Bill Pullman, Oliver Platt, Bridget Fonda.
Oliver Platt's who you're thinking of.
Oliver Platt is the Randy Quaid of. Mariska Hargitay.
Oh, I like Mariska Hargitay. Mm-hmm. I don't like her name, but I like her.
Yeah.
All right.
There was a couple of them at that time too. Lake Placid, and there was another one too that was kind of like
What was the one with the shark with Samuel Jackson that was kind of like that?
Oh, that one's great. Deep Blue Sea.
Was it sharks?
Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah, yeah. Where we still need to do that. Anytime that streams, we have to bump it up the list because it's got that scene where it jumps up and eats him.
Yes.
Well, thanks, Scott.
What? Spoiler?
Jeez.
Spoiler, little spoiler there. No, that is famous for that. I've not even seen the whole movie and I know about that scene. All right, here you go. Head out of here.
I haven't seen the whole movie, but you can spoil it for everybody.
Well, I've seen the YouTube. Look, I don't think the world is on pins and needles about spoiling Deep Blue Sea.
I think for you to spoil something, there is a rule. Vince Gilligan would agree with this, that for you to be able to spoil something, you must have watched it.
Yeah.
Right.
And I haven't even seen
planned,
the whole movie.
Or plan on watching it.
I've seen that scene on YouTube, so I'm only aware of it via that. All right, here you go. Head out of your what?
Get your head out of your ass. Pay attention now.
Oh, head out of here. I'm sorry, Miss Daisy. Get your head out of your hair. All right, here's Morgan Freeman doing the famous thing in this movie. Here you go.
We just want the money.
Oh, it's all I remember.
Wow.
It is so vivid to me. My friend Andrew and I would just yell at each other for no reason in the 90s. He'd just be down the street and go, hey, dude, what? We just bought the money, we'd yell.
So good.
We just loved it. And that was based on the trailer. I think we saw the movie after.
Oh, is that another thing you spoiled before you saw the movie?
Yeah, I did. Sorry. Sorry, everybody.
Oh, no, they just want the money. I know that going in now. Yeah. Oh,
here's some more from him doing that.
You guys walk away. We won't kill you.
I don't believe you.
Wow.
Was this after Kenny had already shot him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
so used to hearing Morgan Freeman's just deep, calm, mellow voice that when you hear him yell, it does not sound like Morgan Freeman.
We won't kill you. Just come
on. I was seriously disappointed there was not like a whole scene of him describing flooding and how flooding works. And
right.
That's a great idea.
This is,
This is
water in this town represents Christian Slater's inability to get out.
He needs to get out. All right, Brian Ibbett.
Yes.
I don't remember what this was, so I'll just play it.
You got 30 seconds.
Oh, I think it was, I was going to make a honeymoon
something about
joke.
My wedding night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ah, yes.
I forgot this what I was going to do.
Sure. I'll write it for you. Here, sit down.
Sit down. Here it is.
I'll do it.
All there, right.
This should be like a Johnny Carson sketch where Scott gets you to write the joke before you hear the sound clip.
That's right.
And you're still going to get it right.
Yeah.
So, Ed, the answer is 30 seconds.
Seconds you've 30 got seconds, 30 Ed. Seconds, Ed. That's brilliant. All right. How about the inspiration I wrote? Anyway, here it is. I don't know what it is. Oh, wait. There we go.
Ray, gonna need a little inspiration, son.
With the raging flood, he makes an end of those who oppose him, and he pursues his enemies into darkness. That's from one of the more obscure.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt. Bible study and all, but has anybody realized how screwed we are?
Oh, Kenny.
I love Kenny.
Oh, Hicks. Kenny.
Hicks. I wanted Kenny to die so bad.
Yeah.
Game over, man.
You knew Kenny was going to die. I just didn't know it'd be like on fire on a transformer.
Right.
That was intense.
And speaking of that, how is the electricity on this entire movie? And when the electricity is off and you're outside in a flood, in a rainstorm, how is it so bright?
Yeah.
It was like, this was like super moon times three.
Yeah. There were street lights that were on. It was weird. Yeah. The power situation in that town was magical.
Don't dig too deep for this movie.
Yeah. It's dig too deep and then it's all clear and there's no poo floating in it either.
Yeah,
so
you don't want that.
Mm-hmm. I love Minnie Driver, and here's her talking.
Did you think that the order was for everyone but you to evacuate?
No. I was going to go as soon as I filled the pumps, but, you know, the next thing I know, I got a looter on my hands, and, you know, maybe I'm crazy, but I was expecting a little, I don't know, gratitude?
I like her.
She does a really good Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, that's not that's bad, what I thought dude. Hey, yeah. That's what that reminds me of. Weird. Mm. I don't know how to feel about that now.
Yeah, I'm confused. I'm really confused.
I'm not a big J-Lo fan.
Because I was bothered by the mix on her voice the entire movie, and it never occurred to me that she actually just sounds like she's right out of Selena.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. True.
Well, here's that jerk talking jerk talk. Here you go.
Oh, that's it, Phil. That'll finally get you into her pants.
Are you such an ass. Such an ass, that guy. All right, more Golden Girls.
You so much as breathe funny, and your head goes back out that window without you.
All right.
Without you.
Whatever you say, Madge. What was her name in the Golden Girls? Quick. Rose.
Rose was Rose.
Thank you for being
no, Rose wasn't. No, Rose was the other girl.
No, it was Rose, dude. Oh, right. No, Rose.
Rose was the one who thought she was hot.
All I know is Blanche.
That was Blanche's Rue McClanahan.
Oh, mm-hmm. Rue McClanahan.
Maybe so.
Never seen a single episode of that damn show.
You should watch it.
Oh, my
it.
Gosh.
It's fun. It's fun. What's her name's great. Can't think of her name. Tall lady.
What's her name?
Rue McClanahan.
Femputer.
B. Arthur.
She was Femputer on Futurama. She's great.
And you were right. Betty White was Rose.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay.
Come on now. Let's get straight here.
It's all making sense now.
The Olden Girls. Come on.
Was Betty White... On Golden Girls, was Betty White so angry that it made no sense?
No, she was sweet and kind and dumb.
Yeah, okay. She was dumb.
Wasn't that her whole thing, Brian? She was just kind of airheaded, it's
movie.
A fun show. It's all right. It's all very mauve, though. I warn you about the coloring on it. And it's super, I mean, like, I'm not telling Ibbett, rush out and get the DVD set.
No,
I'm not
I'm not even going to pull it up on Hulu. That's not on my radar.
But I think if you had to be sitting there and it's too big of a pain to change channels or move a disc or move a mouse around to change it or something, just sit through one. You'll be fine.
Okay. Yeah, and the only reason why anyone ever
is there
watched
one where
it
they find an alien?
I'm sure there is.
Yeah, every week. Her name was Estelle Getty. Oh, she's dead. Speak ill not of the dead. All right. How you know it's the 90s? Here you go.
We're not going to send these people out to the wolves.
Oh, we're not, are we? Well, what's your plan, General Schwarzkopf?
It's a General Schwarzkopf reference.
Yeah.
That was awesome,
good stuff,
dude.
Look, you're storming, Norman.
Oh, my gosh. So 90s. All right. People, what? Hold on.
We're not going to send these people out to the wolves.
Oh, I just cut it out. That's what that was. Okay. All right. More Betty White for you.
We could be safe in our home instead of out here in this boat with these low-life scumbags.
Jeez. Wow. She's terrible.
Why is she so man, you just hate her so much. She plays it perfect.
She's an awful lady in this. Mm-hmm. She's such a nice lady otherwise. All right, old man cussing. Here you go.
Then shut the f*** up.
There you go.
We had all been waiting.
I liked him a lot.
Yeah, he was great.
Whole movie.
That guy was great. All right. How long you... Oh, here you go.
20 years you've been looking out
for. 20 years I've been eating shit. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Jeez. The Illuminati's still out to get me.
That was a great line.
From now on, everything I eat is going to be shit-free.
That's a great line.
Yes.
It is.
All right. Her accent left for a second. This is Minnie Driver, and for a moment, it's very British. Here you go.
And she said...
Get off, you psycho!
Psycho!
You really think I'm going to play a part in your sick little game?
Get off me, you psycho! Can you hear that?
And she said...
Get off, you psycho!
Totally.
Yeah, right. There's definitely some British show.
That's what they do. They yell. They get yelling, and that's what happens. Don't go that route, everybody. Don't yell if you're British. All right, here we go. Came for the money.
You never learned, do you? I came for the money.
Really? Really?
Yeah. I came for the money.
Because I couldn't tell.
Like Morgan Freeman, I came for the money.
That's a good line.
Yeah.
It's like a Biggie song or something. I like it. All right. Guy's not dead yet. This is the sound you hear. Here you go. That's what happens when Randy Quaid's hand hits the side of the deal.
Oh, right.
That's the equivalent.
And time to go into slow motion.
That's the equivalent of the Amish guy popping up out in the crowd.
Mm-hmm. I try not to laugh, though, because he reveals that revolver so slowly. I mean, it just kind of comes up and goes like, peek-a-boo.
The revolver reveal you're referring to.
Just kind of coming up, and it's like, shoot him already. And it's like, shot to her with the holding the trigger, and then him coming up a little further with the gun, and her still thinking about it, and... I don't know.
It's good stuff. Weird. Hey, Dibbit, tell me about this closing song. Do you know much about it?
Yeah, that's Jars of Clay.
Was it really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Flood by Jars of Clay. I want to say they were a Christian rock group, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they were always compared to Creed at the time.
Well, they were Christian, but didn't they? They're like, what's their foot? Something foot, show foot or whatever. They used to be super Christian bands, and then they all kind of like tried to branch out. Now they're all back to being Christian bands now, I think, or something.
Oh. I don't know. Switchfoot? Are you thinking
Switchfoot?
No, that's not Switchfoot. Yeah.
Well, they were major Christian for a while.
So Jars of Clay, just this year, a few months ago, their lead singer and frontman came out as being supportive of gay marriage.
Oh, that's a real trouble for the Jars of Clay fans.
Yeah, that's kind of the end of them.
Mm. Wow.
Wow.
The end of their bass.
Right,
fan base, right?
That's too bad they went out on top, you know, right when they were their highest popularity possible. All right, I just like this line from that song. So here's the one.
Slowly I become one with the mud.
I just like that line. Slowly I become one with the mud.
It's a good line.
It's great.
It is.
I actually really like that song in general. So good job.
Yeah, take it behind the boathouse and show you my dark secret. No, wait.
Here's Fletcher's long version of his intro today. They're not that.
Look, we just want the money. You guys can walk away. We won't kill you.
Very nice. And then there's this.
Windiggy.
I have to play that every week.
Figure out a way to work that in.
Well, it's my commitment to you, the dear listener at home. All right, it's our checklist time. Strap in. It's the Film Sack Checklist, which goes like this. Girl you just met is your future love interest? Check. Randy Quaid is a dick? Check. Sure. Finally, everybody is going to die anyway because they're swallowing large amounts of corpse and fecal water. Check.
Fecal water.
So gross, dude. That's all I could think about was how gross that water was. And they were acting like they were swimming down, you know, at the old swimming hole.
We just want hand sanitizer.
they were spitting it out in this little...
Wait, what's that
Get
called?
It out of
what's
your
that,
mouth, man.
What's that brand of hand sanitizer, everybody?
Purell.
We just bought the Purell. That's brilliant. All right. Trek stuff. No.
I'll use that as my Twitter post.
Yeah, you put that in there. Star Trek Connections, Mark Ralston, who played Wayne Bryce. He was in TNG Enterprise two different times as a Klingon once and as somebody named Kuroda. My Kuroda. In something called Camomar. Christian Slater, he played Tom in Star Trek. He was a cameo role as a night duty officer in Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. He is a giant Star Trek fan, and he got his part through his mother, Mary Jo Slater, who was in charge of casting the film. A little nepotism there for...
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So there's that. According to Daryl, who knows? It could be lying through his freaking gnarly teeth. Let's see. Soundtrack grade. We give it an NA for 90s appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Adequate. Very good.
Adequate. I think
NA for nicely adequate.
Yeah, very nice. I think that's a good way of putting it. Let's now sum it up in 140 characters or less, shall we? Let's start with Randy. Go.
Hard Rain. They could have called it Die Hard Rain, but for two things. They needed to swap in Bruce Willis, and they needed to swap out pretty much everything else in the movie.
Oh, man, he would have saved it. I'll give you that. Bruce Willis. May he yet live on in our hearts. He's still alive, though, isn't he? All right. Brian Dunaway.
Hard Rain. Like taking a long hot bath with Betty White. You come out all wrinkly and sexually confused. Mustache rapist.
Wow. And then finally, that last one really disturbed me. And finally, Brian Ibbett.
A Hard Rain, not Black Rain, not Red Heat, not Rising Sun, and not Daylight, which are all movies that I confused this movie with last week.
You know, first step is admitting
it,
dude. I
did have trouble with that. Yeah. I had trouble the same way because I kept going to Netflix and going, I don't want to watch the wrong movie because I'm going to watch the wrong movie. And I had to go back and look. I said, Hard Rain. Okay, Hard Rain. Look it up. Hard Rain. Okay, wait a minute.
Yeah,
it's Hard Rain.
I remembered because you want the money thing. That's all there is. Or we just want the, you want the money. You just want the money.
You just want the money.
But we want it too.
We all want the money. Oh, look at this. A little Foley work. Put that in post. We got right here the alternate title. This just handed to me. You can choose between the following. Quote, the best Transformer movie you'll see this year.
I think that guy was on a Transformer.
I think he was on a Transformer. Yeah. And finally, Revenge of the Water Ninjas. And that's what you could have had. And I wrote that while they were jumping around doing the water skis.
Yeah. Which
totally ninja moves. Anyway, emails this week. We got a couple of them. We got one from, did I not get his name? I'm going to feel bad. I got to find it because this is awesome. Hold on. We're going to finally got to give him credit.
Kenny wrote in this week.
His name is Sean. Sean wrote in and he said the following. While listening to the latest film sack in which you sacked Gattaca, I really enjoyed the early part of the episode where Scott thought Brian Ibbett had said mammogram and Randy quickly turns the hilarious confusion into a song. I'm sure someone else in the Frog Pants community could do a much better job, but here's a little something I made for Randy and Brian. I am now going to play what he made. And here it is, Randy. Randy, this is mostly for you, dude. So enjoy. Here you go.
Whoa, Brian Ibbett, mammogram. 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 Whoa, Brian Ibbett, mammogram.
That's pretty much it. It just fades out.
I would just like to say to this person two things. One, thank you. Two,
that was incredible.
When you said someone else in the Frog Pants community could do a better job, you've never been more right.
Yeah, there are plenty of people who could do a spin on that thing, and that was awesome. So
wow.
I still think Brian said mammogram, but that's neither here nor there.
I don't know what I said.
Here's what you said.
Excuse me.
All right.
That's exactly what I said.
That was
got 30 seconds.
You got 30 seconds. all right. Finally, Jeff wrote in along with 4 billion other people and said, Davy Jones died 2.5 years ago.
Yes,
that is all.
Okay.
We got it. All right.
I thought we were talking about, you know, some legendary pirate.
No, we were talking about musician. No, Jones.
I know that is also, there's also a Davy Jones, but I kept saying Davy Jones is dead because.
Yeah.
Davy Jones pirate. Locker, the Bill Nighy character from.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. But everybody and their dog emailed us, tweeted us, and told us, and emailed, my gosh, the emails, that Davy Jones has died, and it was 2.5 years ago.
And the funniest part of all that. As being one of the people who did not remember that, I actually did a Coverville episode dedicated to the monkeys after Davy Jones died.
Yeah.
That's the saddest part.
Yeah, the most egregious offender here, Brian Ibbett, everybody.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
No question.
Is Jimi Hendrix dead? I can't keep track. I don't know.
Right. I don't know.
Go back, check Coverville, see if you did a
dedication. Davy Jones choke on his own vomit? I don't know.
Might have. In the back of a limo somewhere?
Right.
Actually, how did he die? I don't even know. He just died of a heart attack.
Oh, not
open
that count. Can of worms.
All right.
Ooh, he died of stopped breathing.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. That's how I want to die.
Lack of living.
I guarantee you'll die when you stop breathing.
I want to die when I stop breathing. Hitari is our next film. Hatari. Am I saying
Hatari.
It right?
Yes.
Like yeah. Atari with an H.
Hatari yep. 2600.
Oh, I want it to be a future-y movie with him in it, but it's not. It's John Wayne, and I've never heard of this until Randy suggested it, and we're all kind of excited to see what the hell's going on with this. So read up on Hatari, everybody.
Or watch it. You could do that instead of...
Yep, you could go to Netflix.
Right. No, not really read.
Watch it.
Don't read.
It is streaming, directed by Howard Hawks, and has your John Wayne, your bunch of other people you don't know. This was put out what year?
1962.
It has the worst Criterion widescreen edition cover I've ever seen.
Oh, yes, it does.
It's real bad, but it has Red Buttons in it, and I've always been a fan of that guy, even though I don't really know what he's in. I just love the name Red Buttons.
Can I name some more movies on an upcoming list?
Yeah.
Bloodsport.
Holy shit.
Dude. Harlem Nights.
What?
Days of
Thunder.
Stop
shooting that little shit.
You're kidding, right? Days of Thunder.
Days of Thunder. Beverly Hills Cop 3.
At least half of these movies have more Randy Quaid in them. This is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Well, there's a lot coming up. Next week it's Hatari. We're dipping back in time. We haven't done an older movie in a while, and this feels good. This would have been about the time, if the legend is true, that John Wayne's giant fecal impaction had gotten to critical mass. Remember that whole deal? Like, he died with a 40-foot poo in his butt?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I never heard of this.
This is true.
I mean, either. This is completely...
I'm going to look this up.
By the way, this is definitely...
red meat.
This is definitely old John Wayne. If you watch John Wayne movies, one day he went from a young man to a very old man in his movie, just like Frank Sinatra did. Remember?
Yeah. Are you saying it was the fecal impacting that was making him age?
I'm just saying this is old John Wayne.
Because I need to go take a crap right now.
Okay. It says right here, now this has mostly been debunked, okay, because I want to make that clear. I don't actually believe this, but one of these great things was John Wayne died with 40, and this is on it's Snopes everywhere. John Wayne died with 40 pounds of impacted fecal matter in his colon, and that's
he needed to be debunked.
That's been the rumor floating around, but apparently it's no way it was true.
Right,
but he loved his remedy.
32 pounds.
Yeah. Do they really weigh your fecal matter? Take that out. Let's weigh it. We'll see how much this is.
Right. Well, I'm sure, there's the autopsy has to be done.
I've watched X Files. I've never seen
we're gonna miss his movies.
Scully.
Yeah. Weigh his poo. Hurry up and weigh his poo, everybody. We're gonna miss him, but weigh his poo. Mm-hmm. What were you gonna say,
let's
Brian?
Let's see, bullet shot wound, upper chest. Let's see, 40
holy
pounds
shit,
of
I've seen
fecal
all of
matter
this.
In
just make it easy. Put a little scale behind there.
This guy must have
there.
Had shit for breakfast, shit for lunch, and shit for dinner.
For the last 20 years.
Yeah. If I was that autopsy guy, I'd go, you guys want to see something funny? And I'd just hit him real hard and watch that thing shoot out like a bullet. Hey, Brian Dunaway, you were going to say something. I cut you off.
Oh, I don't remember. Scully used to measure everything. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Next file. She used to always take everything out and weigh it.
Did she never measure my love for her, though?
Oh.
I know. I really liked her.
Sick.
Well, she's still around, right? She's still kicking. She didn't die. She didn't stop breathing. Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right, that's our next movie. Be here for that or be lame, because what else are you going to be doing during that time? That's an awesome time to be hanging out with us, so please do. And let's see. I guess that's it. Hey, look at this. Filmsack.com is our website. Check it out. Visit it. Go there. Be a part of it, America and beyond. Email us, filmsack@gmail.com. On Twitter, follow us @filmsack. Leave us reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever podcasts are distributed. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
Mustache rapist. Neck wound death.
We're going to get emails.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
I was waiting for your fart noise at the end.
I know, me too.
Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to support this show and the many other shows produced here at the Frog Pants Network, go to patreon.com/frogpants. A little bit a month goes a long way. A dollar? Yeah, you can do that. That's a small amount. There's some awesome unlockables that we want to get to and great rewards. Patreon.com/frogpants. Do it today.